Welcome into Sports Talk. It is August 7th. We got game day on Saturday, folks. Saints at Arizona Cardinals, definitely geeked up and gearing up for that. We're going to be talking to Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak after the first break for a practice update of what's going on in California. First off, want to, though, check into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Want to thank everyone for hanging on. You can dial in 504-260-1870. Bottle Man, you are first up to bat, and I see you want to talk about a popular topic right now. What's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing, gentlemen?
Hey, Bottle Man, you got to be chomping at the bit. You get to see tackle football come Saturday.
Who that?
Hey, I've been 69 years, Bobby, so you know I done seen a lot of tackle football, but I want you to hear this. I want to reminisce on something. First of all, thank the Lord that you all are living. We are living to talk about it. Bobby, when you went to Atlanta, we love you. When you come back to the Saints, we love you. When y'all told you about Dante Hardy, he's always be a Saints because I shared values. I watched Chris Olave the day I got his headband. I saw the maturity in that child. I watched the Shahid. He was with him that day when I went to the Saints practice. Vision is mine. When Mason Tippin get healthy, that's going to be our slot receiver. We ain't going to have to run behind Wilson, nobody else, even though they're veterans. You put speed and you put that awesome defense that Gardner put for Mr. Dennis Allen together and work that. Mr. Dennis Allen been here with us two and a half, 3 years or whatever. Sean Payton and everybody else been here 40, 50 years. We wore bags on our head. We just didn't have what we have. Our offense go against our defense, so we have a good offense. We just have to have those kids bite the bullet and show and tell when they get out there because so many misdirections and the new offensive coordinator that we have. Nobody don't know what we're going to be doing now, man. Speed kill. Y'all, everybody, see that doubt is the thing that makes you fumble the ball. It's like poor Jim Moore told you, Bobby. You was one of the best quarterbacks we ever had. We from down the bayou. My mom from Thibodeau, my dad from Boutique. So, you know, I'm a country boy. We're going to win that Super Bowl, man.
Oh, so you think this year we're not only going to be in the Super Bowl, not only, I should say, host the Super Bowl, we're going to be in it. I mean, think about that, Bottle Man. Wouldn't that trump what we did? Now, whenever you win a first, that always takes precedence. But wouldn't that trump, so to speak, that you build upon even a little extra lanyard, that if we not only hosted the Super Bowl, we'd be in it and win it, considering how under the radar we are at the beginning of August? Hey, you got to believe. Bottle Man believes. You got to believe.
Let me tell you something, Bob. I do a lot of praying, man, because I done been through a storm. You're going to really see me when I come to Tulane practice. We're going to actually have to meet. Me and you and Mr. Mike to tell you y'all to meet me. Man, I always think about Mr. Benson, and I think about Ms. Benson. Everybody have owners and stuff. But we have two of the finest people that ever bought the franchise for the city. We need the Super Bowl to stop a lot of murders and shooting and killing down here. So God's going to give. This is what Cam Jordan said. He ain't come back to do no damn. He come back to Cam. We working, man. Me and Cam going to do the beanie weenie, man.
Well, I tell you what, Cam, I think, boy, who's telling me this today? I was just, now I'm having a little brain fart. But Cam, I think it might have been my neighbor. When all of a sudden, he said, Bob, did you see that interview? Didn't Cam do an interview on ESPN or something? He said, and how he acknowledged that he needs to bounce back from what he did, last year dealing with that ankle injury.
Right. Nobody's got to tell Cam that he had a down year last season.
Yes.
He's well aware.
And that Mac, I was talking to my neighbor Mac. And then, it's like, boy, Cam Jordan was like outstanding on that interview. And how you could see that he's still hungry. And realizing what had happened last year was unacceptable. You know, that cliche, much is given, much is required. And Cam knows, along with Double D, DeMario Davis, what you did last year is last year. What are you going to do this year?
Yeah.
And DeMario Davis being that team captain, along with Cam Jordan, they know. For the Saints, the utmost, ultimately, to have success, that they can't just be good. Very good. They got to be outstanding. They have to be great. They have to be difference makers game in and game out. Whether it be like Cam Jordan doing a significant play, I'll never forget this. You talk about a monumental play. It's a defensive lineman's dream. I remember this is when Matthew Stafford was still with the Lions. You remember when he batted up that ball? Think about this. He got a pass defend, and he bats up the ball, then he catches it for like a pick six for a touchdown. I remember that play. It was right in front of us. You know, we're in the press box. I said, woo. Boy, when you go to bed at night, the night before a game, and you're able to do that type play, man, that's what you're showing your grandkids. That's a highlight reel. Not only do you get a significant play against the opposing quarterback, that's almost better than a sack. Unless you would sack the quarterback, strip him, and scoop and score, and that'd be maybe a little better. But batting the ball up in the air, having the awareness of knowing where the passing lanes are, batting the ball up, catching it, and you get a touchdown. Well, Cam knows not that that's hard to do that type play, but have that vision to be able to accomplish or encourage your teammates. Everyone has to contribute.
And people have asked Cam, obviously, when he did his interview at training camp already, it's like, you know, after that down season, do you feel that fire reignited? Do you want to, you know, have a huge bounce back year? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to just show you.
Yes. Just let your action do the speaking.
Exactly.
You know, listen, I don't have no problem with a player talking smack. And no matter against you or with you. I mean, it makes it the game not as boring. But if you're going to talk smack, the media...
You got to back it up, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, just back it up. But if you're going to tell me you're going to talk smack and not do anything, I'd rather you don't say anything and you accomplish a lot. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to walk the talk. I mean, that's another cliche. Whatever. You got to... The bottom line is you just got to produce. It's a production business.
Want to go into our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line again, Bobby. Irvin and Hammond says, success from football stems in three areas. What you got for us, Irvin?
Irvin's going to enlighten us. I think it's probably a good point he's going to make.
Hey, Bobby, former high school coach, on every level, football is going to come down to three basics, absolutes. I'm going to refer to Vince Lombardi. First of all, it's about blocking and tackling on every level. And we can't just assume pro players can do it correctly.
Right.
Secondly, football games are won in the trenches, the offensive and defensive lines. If you don't have that, your backfield, your quarterback, your receivers, your DBs really don't matter much. And finally, if you can keep the injury bug at bay and have your better players out on the field executing blocking, tackling, and dominating the offensive and defensive lines, you got a pretty good chance of winning it.
Well, Irvin, that's right on. Listen, what you said, I agree upon your statement or your number of statements as 100%. You know, the casual fan or the fan, you follow the football.
Right.
But are you winning or losing in the trenches? Now,
that's the big one this year for sure,
too. Now, you might say, like, he's always hurt. Now, I think you have players – you can't tell me that Cam Jordan played all these games at a very high level and he wasn't banged up. There's a difference. Now, how hurt are you? What motivates you to continue to play? All I know is if you're going to last a decade and that be your lifestyle as a pro, you got to play hurt. I'm not saying you got a broken arm or a broken leg and you're trying to play through that, but you have to play hurt. Some players, I'm not well. No, you might not always be 100%. You might be 70%, but your 70% might be better than your backup's 100%.
Right.
So you can help the team win. But some other players, they don't have that mindset. I don't feel good. I don't want to play. So whether you say luck with injuries or whatever, no, that all comes into play. But that call was right on, and it's. Again,
former coach knows what he's talking about.
No, and the casual fan thinks you got to have all these unbelievable receivers or skilled players. No, it's great you have all that, but you can have that, and if you don't, not winning in the trenches, you know what's going to happen? You're going to win some and lose some. Then you're hovering around 500.
Let's hope that luck with injuries goes in the black and gold's favor this season, too, as well. We're going to take a break. When we get back, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will join us from Irvine, California, for the latest on the Saints practice sessions out there. Be back with more sports talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Charlie Long, bringing it till 8 p.m. this evening. And now joining us from out west, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. And Jeff, seeing you just retweeted Josina Anderson's message of she's told current expectations is that free agent safety Justin Simmons will visit the Saints. It's going to run through this evening, includes dinner and some team personnel per source. So are you going to be out there stalking them at dinner tonight?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to pass on that. But it will be interesting to see how that situation develops, how long it takes if they want to bring him in. I don't think he's a guy that you really need to see a ton from. But, you know, we're only a couple weeks away from the regular season, so we'll see how that goes.
All about financials.
So, Jeff, when you say you don't have to see much, like on the field and what he can do, like I think he probably is in his best interest, obviously, the veteran that he is, in shape and ready to roll. Isn't it going to be like, are they going to pay him or not pay him? And it might be only a one-year deal, 1 year plus, not necessarily long-term. But if money, put it this way, you can disagree if you disagree with this, but I think that he would be on every NFL team. Let's say he was, so I'm playing for the NFL minimum. Or I'm just saying, let's say I'm going to play for $1 million this year.
Denver wouldn't have got rid of him.
Right. He would make every NFL team. So to me, that's when like, oh, can he help us or not help? Hell yeah, he can help us. And it all because of what kind of contract he would get if he's going to be a Saint.
Yeah, and I mean, these conversations have been going on between the Saints and Justin going back to, I think, right after the draft. They initially started talking, and I think what went on is, hey, I'm looking for this. The Saints are saying, well, we'll give you this. Go out and see if you can find it. And I think over the course of time, things just kind of work their way back around. We've seen this happen before with the Saints. I think Jarvis Landry is a good example of early on in that free agency process, if they couldn't work anything out, Jarvis went around and came back and said, okay, this is the place that makes sense anyway, and he ended up taking a short-term deal. The return on that wasn't obviously great with the health and everything, but I think you're in a similar situation, you know. And, well, one of the things that the Saints, you know, one of the reasons I say I don't think the Saints need to see a ton is because both Marcus Robertson and Joe Woods worked with Justin Simmons in Denver, right? Marcus Robertson.
Yeah, the coach-player relationship. That's huge.
And Joe Woods was the defensive coordinator. So, and this is something I asked Dennis Allen about today. You know, when you're adding a veteran player this late into camp, there has to be some level of, okay, what are we getting? Like, you don't know exactly how that guy's going to meld in with the room. You know, the team chemistry is a very volatile situation, right? Like, you think, oh, we're going to add this.
Right.
At a certain point, you're adding bleach, and it turns it into, you know, a toxic situation, right? So knowing the personality that you're getting is important, and I think that's what makes this situation a lot easier for the Saints to do than someone who's just kind of bringing in a guy blind. Now, sometimes the talent level is high enough that you're willing to overlook maybe, oh, we don't know how this is going to go. But I think in most situations, if you're talking about adding a guy this late into camp, you got to know that he's going to be an addition, you know, like a value-added player as opposed to just a guy in the room. Because you're going to displace somebody. That's the issue that you have. You're bringing in the Justin Simmons now. You've had these safeties who are sitting there competing for that job, and suddenly, well, okay, this isn't what I signed up for, right? So it's going to be something they have to manage. I have a feeling it's going to happen. It's going to come down to whether the Saints can pony up what he's asking for.
Well, if it does happen, the only one that might be not pleased, I think, because Jordan Howard, he was drafted, so what? You don't have no say, so Jonathan Abram. Come on, you're glad the Saints threw you a bone. You didn't work out as a first-round draft pick with the Raiders, would be Will Harris.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting thing about Will Harris is they were actually teammates at Boston College.
Yeah, they were teammates. So, no, we boys. We all hung together. But no competition. You're trying to last, make a living. That's why, listen, if you're a fan of the team, are we going to get better or what? But, Jeff, the one thing, if he signs with the Saints, it's not no competition. No, he's starting. It's him and Honey Badger. Now you have different packages and how you utilize the players and special teams and all that. So you can't be discouraged. You can't pout. You just got to fight. And then, you know, teams look at the film and who you might be playing outstanding. And then because the numbers game, you don't make the Saints. And some other team will pick you up. So that's why you cannot get discouraged just because they brought in someone who has some skins in the wall. And really, I think the reason why he hasn't been in camp so far is because what you're willing to invest in safeties, and we talked about the market, whether it be running back, how that fluctuates, or the safety position. And again, if it's the team's price, he'd be on every team. But I don't know what he's actually asking for. I want to say, Jeff, he might have, after a four-year deal with Denver, he might have signed like a $65 million deal. So you know how players are always looking for that maybe second big payday. Well, maybe he might not have that leverage, and obviously so far he hasn't. And he might be like Chase Young, a one-year deal, a proven deal, and then he does outstanding, and then maybe he can get that second big deal, more long-term security. So I think that's where we're at with him. It's not that can he play or not. It's going to be can they work out a contract. And the one thing with the Saints, you know this, they have a number in their head. And they said, nope, we're going to pay you this. Now, maybe with Simmons and his representatives, they'll go to other teams and see what they can get. You're a hard gun. And you just kind of go around where you can get the best deal or the best team situation if you can have your cake and eat it too. But to me, that's where he's at right now. It's not going to be whether he can help the Saints or not. The Saints know he can help. They know that he can help the team. And, Jeff, I don't know if you agree with this, and if you don't, tell me. I was talking with Steve, Charlie, and Mike about this. I look at the stability of that safety position, and I look at the consistency overall of what we have with Marcus Williams and Malcolm Jenkins. We haven't had that in a while. That I think truly, now they had a number for Marcus Williams. They didn't want to pay that, so he went to the Ravens. And I think they look at where Honey Badger and how and what he did last season, how they think he'll build upon that, what Simmons and that combination could bring more stability at that safety position. Nothing against Howland, none of those Abram and who we're trying to develop, Will Harrison, all that. It's just to make that position stronger. Is that a fair assessment that you think that if he comes here, he ain't competing? They throwing him out there. He's starting along Honey Badger.
Well, here's the thing. It's not even about the talent level. I think that's kind of, you know, they're meeting today. They're kind of coming up with, okay, what is your role for me? What is your vision for me? If they sit there and say, well, we're going to have you compete with Jordan Howard and you might back him up, I don't think he signs here, right? So
right.
I think that's kind of the question you have to ask. But no, I think what it does is it raises your baseline at that position where you do not have as many questions about the performance level that you're going to get. Like, I think I have a lot of faith that Jordan Howden's going to take a step forward and have a really strong season, but there's a lot of variables there that you're not sure of. You know, this is a team that in the past has shown that they would prefer to bring in a veteran safety when they have the opportunity. We saw them do that with Malcolm Jenkins. We saw them do that with Tyrann Mathieu, and we saw them do it with Marcus May. Now, the Marcus May signing did not work out, but the idea is still there.
Hey, Jeff, Marcus May, you know, I look at Marcus May again, and this all comes into play, whether it's bad luck or how you describe it or how when you banged up, can you still play hurt? When you look at since you brought Marcus May on board, I'm not talking about off the field, none of that stuff. But on the field, if you combine two seasons, he missed like a whole season. So that's one thing when you look, are you available?
Right.
And you know, look in Denver, he was available. I think, what was the, Steve, we said, Charlie, we had talked about all of the games. I think the one season maybe I think he only played in, I'll say only, like 12 games.
2016, 13 games played. 2017, 13 games played. 13 games started. 2018, 16 games played, all started. Oh, this is just going to be the same across the board. 2019, 16, 2020, 16, 2021, 17, 2022 was 12, which was his career low.
Yeah, that
was 2023 was 15.
Yeah, so he's been available, Jeff. That, and the Saints know that, believe you me.
Yeah, and I think for the Saints, I have a feeling when you come down to it, I don't know if they want to commit multiple years
right,
to a 30-year-old safety.
And that's right.
I think that's probably what he was seeking at the beginning of this process, and the deal just isn't out there. So if they can get something done for 1 year and see how it goes, I don't think they would have any issue bringing him back after this 1 year. I just have a feeling you're looking at a team that doesn't want to commit to a long-term contract, to a multi-year contract for a 30-year-old safety that – you know, we'll see. He's been a Pro Bowler 3 years in a row. He's been All Pro 3 years in a row. So there hasn't really been a drop off. He's a guy who's made a ton of interceptions. He's been all around the ball. I do have questions about how he fits with Tyrann, in that they seem to be very similar players.
Okay,
you wouldn't have really that kind of downhill thumping safety that, you know, I think you
like
want.
Like with Abram, you know.
Yeah,
you
but you could find a way. You could, you know, I think you could figure it out. The key is to get talented players and then figure out how to use them, right? Like, it's a lot easier to figure out a plan for talented players than it is to get people to play above their talent level, right? So,
yeah,
I think this is a situation that, you know, you're gonna get as many pieces in that room as you can, see how it all plays out, and then go from there.
Now, Jeff, looking at before you know it's going to be here come Saturday, first preseason games, they actually tackle you to the ground against the Cardinals. And looking,
well, they won't
at,
tackle me.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you know, like a DB or something, or right. You know, like a player on defense, how they kind of run through the – oh, I would have got him down. Well, no, now you actually got to get him down. You can't say, I'm in position to make the tackle. No, you got to make the tackle. Because they really don't practice tackling anymore. They might tackle a dummy, but they don't really take players to the ground, you know, injuries and all that. But the question I have for you, so listen, Alvin Kamara. I ain't playing no Alvin Kamara in no preseason game. Now, he might want to run a game. Now, you're in practice against the 49ers, hell yeah. I'm giving him a bunch of reps. But then you might give him a handful, maybe come 49ers or the Titans to be able to get that feel. Maybe the feeling of getting tackled. But my question is, okay, what do you think like the rotation? Jamal Williams, Kendrick Miller, Jordan Mims, James Robinson, Kabote, you know, a local favorite from Lafayette. But I look at right now, Jordan Mims. This caught my attention. I look at what the coach says and what he actually accomplished before. And that's why I think Jordan Mims is a young veteran. And knows what it takes in preseason. Okay, Coach Allen says he's doing some really good things. Just watching on the film what he's doing. He's a guy that has caught my eye. How many times do you hear Dennis Allen say, whether it's offensive, defensive player, did they catch his eye? Oh, whoa, look at that. Now, who did that? And, you know, oh, did he catch my eye? So he said that about Jordan Mims. Now, this time last year, you have to look at history. And how can you handle the moment, the pressure of the moment? This time last year, Jordan Mims is trying to make the Buffalo Bills. When you view the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen and all, but they potentially could represent the AFC in the Super Bowl and all that. Now you might say they underachieve, but Jordan Mims is trying to make the Buffalo Bills again, like he is right now with the Saints. Undrafted rookie, free agent out of Fresno State. It doesn't matter where you come from. But look what he did in the preseason last year. This caught my attention. I said, whoa, that's productive. When you're seeing what you're averaging per carry. He had 11 rushes for 47 yards. That's over 4 yards a carry. 11 rushes, 47 yards, and a touchdown. And he caught 4 balls for 45 yards. So again, look when he's touching the football. What did he do as a rusher or a pass-receiving running back? So whoever in that competition, whether Jamal Williams, Kendrick Miller, he ain't playing.
I was going to say, who's Kendrick Miller at this point?
Damn hamstring, whatever. But Jordan Mims, James Robinson, all of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden Jordan Mims don't double that total when the preseason is all said and done. Instead of having maybe 11 rushing attempts, he might have that times 2.5 or 3, like 25 to 30 rushing attempts in 3 games, and the possibility maybe catching double digits or half or a dozen catches for his total. Jordan Mims knows right now that same thing with Kubota, James Robinson, Herbert, even Jamal Williams, like a veteran, is, oh, well, I really like Jordan Mims. I like this statement that Jamal Williams said, that Kendrick Miller respects Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams when we talk to him. As seasoned veterans. Well, hell yeah, he's not stupid. I mean, you got to respect like your elders in football and what you're trying to do, but that don't mean I'm not going to try and take your job and take an advantage of opportunity. So when I look at Jordan Mims and his opportunity, I think he might have a breakout preseason and build upon what he did last preseason, what he did with the Bills.
We might have lost Jeff on the connection with California.
Maybe I was too long-winded.
You busted the connection with the Comrex.
Yeah, busted. But Steve, you and Charlie heard the point I'm making. No, this is like these players' Super Bowl. You know, talk about you trying to make a living. Jacob Cabote. Charlie, you look at that from UL. I mean, like James Robinson. Like, you
no,
know,
these preseason games, better. Definitely you got to stand out and above even more.
Man, you got to give me more touches, okay? Whether you get 8 touches, you get 12 touches, whatever it might be, what do you do with those?
Right.
Whether if you target it in the passing game, are you actually getting a rushing attempt? No, that's why I'm intrigued with I feel like I'm in Hokie spirit with there, Hokie Gajon spirit, as far as like the scout. Because I'm intrigued with these preseason games because I know for sure who could play. I'm not like DeMario Davis, Cam, I'm not worried about them. I would look at who's trying to make the team, and therefore, if they make the team, to help your team be better for the upcoming season. So that's why, no, they fight for their livelihood. And you got to have same guys with the Cardinals, you know, who fight their behind off. The same thing with the Saints. So
right.
That's why they might say, oh, we don't need preseason. Even if they eventually go to 2 games, I think they're actually tackling. So
it's still an intense job interview.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to take a break, be back with more sports talk. Chime in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. Be back right after this on WWL. Welcome back into sports talk. Want to get into our training camp sound bank. It's been a while since we dipped into there. Brought to you by the sound banking of First American Bank. Well, after this team was back at practice today in pads, head coach Dennis Allen was asked, what was the review of the day's work after a day off?
Look, first practice after day off, I thought we started a little sluggish today, but I thought we picked it up as the practice went along, so was pleased with the way that it ended. We got one more install, really, to basically get, you know, pretty much everything in prior to the first game, all the different situational type stuff. We had short yardage today, we'll hit goal line tomorrow. And so we'll have everything in by the time we get to Arizona for the preseason game.
I mentioned earlier quarterback Jake Haener was back at practice today after having his procedure. Does Dennis Allen have any update on the quarterback?
I mean, I think everything went well as far as I know. I guess not really much of an update other than, you know, they feel like they accomplished what they needed to get accomplished. And I don't see, you know, there being really any limitations for the player, you know, moving forward.
Dennis Allen goes on to talk about what we've been chatting about, Cajun Cannon. Justin Simmons coming in for a visit. What's DA have to say about the safety?
Well, look, I mean, this is a guy that's been a good player in our league for a long time. He's a player that's shown an interest in us. We've got some connections with him in terms of guys on our staff that have worked with him, guys that have played with him. And so, look, I think that it's exactly what it is. It's a visit. He's coming in, and we'll talk about how we would see him, you know, what type of vision that we would have for him. And then if what we're looking for and what he's looking for, if those things match up, then, you know, we'll see if it goes further than that.
Dennis, is that more about him than what you've seen at the safety position at camp?
Yeah, look, I mean, as always, you're always looking for, you know, areas that you think you can improve your football team. I don't think that's necessarily a position that I'm saying, man, we got to go out and actively find somebody. I think it's more of a situation where there's a really good player that's on the street, and this is a player that there's been some communication with the player or his agency, and so I think we're at a point now where I think both sides feel comfortable with him coming in and visiting, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Obviously, the safety position is one of concern there. We're wondering, has anyone caught his eye, like a Jordan Howden, Jonathan Abram so far at camp?
Look, I don't think we're set at that position opposite of Tyron. I mean, I think, you know, we got several guys that are competing. All of them have things that they do well. All of them have things that they have to improve on. and so, yeah, I think we're just going to let that play out as the preseason plays out, and I'm not in any hurry to make a determination of, you know, where we're at there.
And one last cut, speaking of preseason, is Dennis Allen looking forward to Saturday at Arizona?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's
It's why you go through all these things that we go through, not necessarily for preseason games, but why you spend all this time practicing, meeting time. All these things are to go and play the game, you know. And so, you know, that these games aren't going to count in terms of, you know, our record, but I think they matter. I think they're important for a lot of people. I think they're important for us as a coaching staff with a lot of new pieces on offense. You know, being able to get into those game situations, understand how the communication's going to operate, how the communication from the box down to the field, to the players, the communication to the quarterback on the field, like all those are things, getting our substitutions on and off. Those are all things that I think, you know, are important things for us to get kind of, you know, ironed out over the next course of the next three games in the preseason so that those don't become issues as we get into the regular season. So, I think we're all kind of excited about playing games.
Training Camp Sound Bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American.
You know, Steve, looking at this text, I remember this play. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is a text from, let me see. Looks like, I don't know, the 9004. You see that one?
Right.
Bobby, Justin Simmons is the one that blocked the field goal last play of the game in Denver, against Denver, that beat us. I think that was in the dome.
Correct.
Was that on an extra point? And then they got 2 points?
Right.
Was he
the guy? A very unsaintly way of losing that game.
Was he the guy?
I'm not doubting the texter at all.
The texter, right. Charlie, might want to look that up. The last time the Broncos came to the Superdome, and he was either
An extra point back in 2016, guys.
There you go.
20, so 8 years ago, blocked extra point, and then you get 2 points. And then did he block it, Charlie, and someone scooped the score?
No, it was like, I don't know if he was the one that scored.
But he might be the one that blocked it. Okay, he blocked
The player that scooped and scored, I think, you know, he had the white shoes, if y'all remember.
And he went out of bounds.
He went out of bounds, but they couldn't tell. It was clearly out of bounds.
And they couldn't tell, so we got gypped by that. Another damn thing about the officials. But if he did block it, that's a playmaker. Come on, think about it, ain't over till it's over. And how that occurred. Hopefully when Sean Payton in Denver comes to town, nothing like that or close to that happens.
No, we don't want to have that happen at all. What you got, Charlie?
He wasn't the one that scored.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that's actually a play that was outlawed as well, guys. Like, you can't jump over
right.
the center anymore as well. And that's how Justin Simmons blocked that kick.
Okay, so showing his athletic ability and how he hurled himself over.
We're talking about Simmons, obviously. What kind of money with the range you think he's looking for? At that safety spot,
Charlie, you might have a better idea of that.
The issue, we were talking about this earlier, guys. Like, it felt like the safety market this year was like the running back market of last year.
Is he 14 million?
They weren't paying any running backs last year, and then early on in free agency this year, they didn't want to pay any of these safeties. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's necessarily a monetary amount. It's maybe more long-term security that he was looking for early on.
Yeah, I have to look at Steve. That'd be a good homework assignment. I always give you and Charlie homework assignments, whatever. Look at that safety position, and because you know, it just became the highest paid safety within our division.
Antoine Winfield
with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Charlie, right quick, pull up his contract.
I had it yesterday. It was like a 4-year, $84 million deal or something like that. I'll double-check the number.
So, you have to look at next contract's going to be more and more and more. No, as a safety, I think that's a measuring stick. And then he's probably looking at, well, I should be around that or a top five. But you could parlay that into multi-years or 1 year. So that's probably where his agent and what he's looking at. And I don't know why I'm thinking $14 million off the top of my head. Because like Honey Badger, I think Honey Badger, since he's come in a Saints uniform, and he kind of knows his limitations and where he's at in his career, he's kind of given the Saints a hometown discount and would rather be in New Orleans than going on the free agent market. Because he's been there and done that. Honey Badger, if you remember, trying to get his life straight. He goes to the Arizona Cardinals with Patrick Peterson and his dad, and they all guide him on the straight and narrow.
Best thing for
him. And then he parlayed that, and then he goes with the Houston Texans, Then he goes to Kansas City Chiefs.
Super Bowl.
Went to Super Bowl, and then he's with the Saints. So he's been on four teams. So I think Tyrann Mathieu enjoys being back with his hometown team in the Saints, LSU and all that, and being here, and really gave the team a hometown discount. Now, with Justin, and where is he at? I mean, come on. He ain't giving the Saints no hometown discount. That's why he's saying whether it's 1 year or multi-year, that's what's the hang-up. Why he's not in a camp yet so far. It's not because of his playing ability.
Going to take a break. Be back to close out things here on Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Closing things out here on Sports Talk. Tomorrow, Cajun Cannon, a special one at the Morio Convention Center with the Nolo Pickle Fest going on. And who will join us? None other than Drew Brees at 5:30. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, looking forward. I'm sure he'll have a lot of nice things to say about Jarry Evans. You know, considering being put on the Ring of Honor. He'll know, get up there one day. But listen, it's always good when Drew Brees comes to town and just talking sports, talking, talk about the Saints and his expectations for the team coming this season.
Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to everybody. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Want to get into our training camp sound bank. It's been a while since we dipped into there. Brought to you by the sound banking of First American Bank. Well, after this team was back at practice today in pads, head coach Dennis Allen was asked, what was the review of the day's work after a day off?
Look, first practice after day off, I thought we started a little sluggish today, but I thought we picked it up as the practice went along. So, was pleased with the way that it ended. We got one more install, really, to basically get, you know, pretty much everything in prior to the first game, all the different situational type stuff. We had short yardage today. We'll hit goal line tomorrow. And so we'll have everything in by the time we get to Arizona for the preseason game.
I mentioned earlier quarterback Jake Haener was back at practice today after having his procedure. Does Dennis Allen have any update on the quarterback?
I mean, I think everything went well as far as I know. I guess not really much of an update other than, you know, they feel like they accomplished what they needed to get accomplished. And I don't see, you know, there being really any limitations for the player, you know, moving forward.
Dennis Allen goes on to talk about what we've been chatting about, Cajun Cannon. Justin Simmons coming in for a visit. What's DA have to say about the safety?
Well, look, I mean, this is a guy that's been a good player in our league for a long time. He's a player that's shown an interest in us. We've got some connections with him in terms of guys on our staff that have worked with him, guys that have played with him. And so, look, I think that it's exactly what it is. It's a visit. He's coming in, and we'll talk about how we would see him, you know, what type of vision that we would have for him. And then if what we're looking for and what he's looking for, if those things match up, then, you know, we'll see if it goes further than that.
Dennis, is that more about him than what you've seen at the safety position in camp?
Yeah, look, I mean, as always, you're always looking for, you know, areas that you think you can improve your football team. I don't think that's necessarily a position that I'm saying, man, we got to go out and actively find somebody. I think it's more of a situation where there's a really good player that's on the street. And this is a player that there's been some communication with the player or his agency. And so I think we're at a point now where I think both sides feel comfortable with him coming in and visiting, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Obviously, the safety position is one of concern there. We're wondering, has anyone caught his eye, like a Jordan Howden, Jonathan Abram so far at camp?
Look, I don't think we're set at that position opposite of Tyrann. I mean, I think, you know, we got several guys that are competing. All of them have things that they do well. All of them have things that they have to improve on. And so, yeah, I think we're just going to let that play out as the preseason plays out, and I'm not in any hurry to make a determination of, you know, where we're at there.
And one last cut, speaking of preseason, is Dennis Allen looking forward to Saturday at Arizona?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's why you go through all these things that we go through, not necessarily for preseason games, but why you spend all this time practicing, meeting time. All these things are to go and play the game, you know. And so, you know, these games aren't going to count in terms of, you know, our record, but I think they matter.
I think they're important for a lot of people. I think they're important for us as a coaching staff with a lot of new pieces on offense. Being able to get into those game situations, understand how the communication's going to operate, how the communication from the box down to the field, to the players, the communication to the quarterback on the field, like all those are things, getting our substitutions on and off. Those are all things that I think, are important things for us to get kind of, ironed out over the next course of the next three games in the preseason so that those don't become issues as we get into the regular season. So, I think we're all kind of excited about playing games.
Training Camp Sound Bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American.
Steve, looking at this text, I remember this play. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is a text from, let me see. Looks like, I don't know. The 9004. You see that one?
Right.
Bobby, Justin Simmons is the one that blocked the field goal last play of the game in Denver. Against Denver, that beat us. I think that was in the dome.
Correct.
Was that on an extra point? And then they got 2 points?
Right.
Was he the guy?
A very unsaintly way of losing that game.
Was he the guy?
I didn't know. I'm not doubting the texter at all.
The texter, right. Charlie, might want to look that up. The last time the Broncos came to the Superdome, and he was either
it was
on
an extra point back in 2016, guys.
There you go.
So 8 years ago. Block the extra point, and then you get 2 points. And then did he block it, Charlie, and someone scooped the score?
No, it was like, I don't know if he was the one that scored.
But he might the one that blocked it. Okay, he blocked
The player that scooped and scored, I think, he had the white shoes, if y'all remember.
And he went out of bounds.
He went out of bounds, but they couldn't tell. It was clearly out of bounds.
And they couldn't tell, so we got gypped by that. Another damn thing about the officials. But if he did block it, that's a playmaker. Come on, think about it, ain't over till it's over, and how that occurred. Hopefully when Sean Payton in Denver comes to town, nothing like that or close to that happens.
No, we don't want to have that happen at all. What you got, Charlie?
He wasn't the one that scored.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that's actually a play that was outlawed as well, guys. Like, you can't jump over
right.
the center anymore as well, and that's okay. How Justin Simmons blocked that kick.
Okay, so showing his athletic ability. And how he hurled himself over.
We're talking about Simmons, obviously. What kind of money with the range you think he's looking for at that safety spot?
Charlie, you might have a better idea that what...
Well, the issue, we were talking about this earlier, guys. Like, it felt like the safety market this year was like the running back market of last year.
Is he $14
million? They weren't paying any running backs last year. And then early on in free agency this year, they didn't want to pay any of these safeties. So... I'm not sure if it's necessarily a monetary amount. It's maybe more long-term security that he was looking for early on.
Yeah, I have to look at, Steve, that'd be a good homework assignment. I always give you and Charlie homework assignments, whatever. Look at that safety position, and because just became the highest paid safety within our division.
Antoine Winfield
with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Charlie, right quick, pull up his contract.
I had it yesterday. It was like a 4-year, $84 million deal or something like that. I'll double-check the number.
So, you have to look at the next contract's going to be more and more and more. No, as a safety, I think that's a measuring stick. And then he's probably looking at, I should be around that or a top five. But you could parlay that into multi-years or 1 year. So that's probably where his agent and what he's looking at. And so I don't know why I'm thinking $14 million off the top of my head. Because like Honey Badger, I think Honey Badger, since he's come in a Saints uniform, and he's kind of knows his limitations and where he's at in his career, he's kind of given the Saints a hometown discount and would rather be in New Orleans than going in the free agent market. Because he's been there, done that. Honey Badger, if you remember... trying to get his life straight. He goes to the Arizona Cardinals with Patrick Peterson and his dad, and they all guide him on the straight and narrow.
Best thing for
And
him.
Then he parlayed that, and then he goes with the Houston Texans. Then he goes to Kansas City Chiefs.
Super Bowl.
Went to Super Bowl, and then he's with the Saints. So he's been on four teams. So I think Tyrann Mathieu enjoys being back with his hometown team and the Saints, LSU and all that, and being here, and really gave the team a hometown discount. Now, with Justin, and where is he at? I mean, come on. He ain't giving the Saints the hometown discount. That's why he's saying whether it's 1 year or multi-year, that's what's the hang-up why he's not in a camp yet so far. It's not because of his playing ability.
Going to take a break. Be back to close out things here on Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Closing things out here on Sports Talk tomorrow, Cajun Cannon, a special one at the Morio Convention Center with the Nolo Pickle Fest going on. And who will join us? None other than Drew Brees at 5:30. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, looking forward. I'm sure he'll have a lot of nice things to say about Jarry Evans. You know, considering being put on the Ring of Honor. He'll know, get up there one day. But listen, it's always good when Drew Brees comes to town and just talking sports talk and talk about the Saints and his expectations for the team coming this season.
Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to everybody.
All right, bon nuit les gens. Good night, people. Who that go, Saints?